Time again for Across the Aisle, our weekly roundtable on politics. This week, Dick Woodbury, an economist who served in the legislature as an independent, Meredith Strang Burgess of Burgess Advertising, a former Republican lawmaker, and Cynthia Dill, an attorney who served in Augusta as a Democrat. They spoke with Keith Shortall.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, happy Thursday. First up, ranked choice voting, our new method for electing our top state office holders, is before Maine's highest court. Voters approved ranked choice voting last fall, but questions have been raised about its constitutionality, and so the Maine Senate has asked the law court to weigh in. We'll start with our resident attorney, Cynthia. Why is this possibly unconstitutional?
Well, the arguments revolve around the requirement in the Constitution to have a plurality be the deciding factor in elections. And so there's some, legal jibber jabber about whether or not that's a floor or a mandate. And so the question becomes, since the Constitution says it's a plurality, whether or not the ranked choice voting outcome, which would result most often in someone with a majority winning, if that's somehow in violation of the Constitution.
And there's some question about even whether the law court should weigh in on this.
Oh, I think that's the bigger question. I mean, that is the question. And it seems to me that this is kind of sucking the law court into partisan politics. And they're put in an awkward position. Maine, unlike other states, does have a provision for the court to give an advisory opinion. And in this case, where you had, for the most part, Republicans seeking this solemn occasion and eight Democrats filing a brief in opposition, it just strikes me that it puts the court in an awkward position, and the initial question of whether it even is a solemn occasion, I think, is the more interesting one.
Dick, full disclosure, you are an active, unabashed advocate for ranked choice voting. Do you think this constitutionality question is valid or should be looked at?
Well, I think it's fair with any new law that someone who feels they're aggrieved by the law has a right to bring it to court and make a challenge. What's unusual about this particular case is that the court has never before been given an advisory opinion about a law that's already enacted. And as soon as the people passed this referendum, it became an enacted law, just as if the legislature had passed it. And under those circumstances, at least traditionally, the court has said there is no occasion on which an advisory opinion is relevant. Somebody who feels aggrieved can bring a true court challenge, but not an advisory opinion at this point.
So in other words, we should wait until someone's elected under this system, and then the loser could come forward. And
that would be the normal approach to a constitutional challenge to an enacted law.
You were in the courtroom today. It's hard to get a sense of how the justices feel based upon questioning.
It was hard to tell. It's clear that they're taking the issue very seriously. This was held in the ceremonial courtroom in Augusta, with quite a formal feel to it. I think maybe the Supreme Court always has somewhat of a formal feel to it, but that was certainly true today. And the justices asked a lot of questions of both sides, and so I think there was a real sense of a thorough examination of the issues.
Meredith, Cynthia pointed up that there's a political, partisan air to this legal argument. What's the issue that Republicans have, as you see it, with ranked choice voting?
Well, first of all, I don't know that I would say that it's a completely partisan topic at all. In fact, our attorney general is citing that it is a constitutional question, certainly. So it's not just a divisive political Republican-Democrat issue. I think what it does is it perhaps highlights some of the conservative, more traditionalist sides of some of the Republicans who have not been a proponent of ranked choice voting, as also, I might point out, the sort of real strong party-supporting Democrats also are not huge fans of this law. I mean, I think that its supporters fall in that moderate sort of middle category that covers both some Republicans and some Democrats. So I think that's a key point of information for everybody.
Let's go to Washington and the world, Meredith, where President Trump is being scrutinized in the past few days here for what critics would say is an about-face on a number of key foreign policy positions that he held during the campaign. For example, that we maybe make nice with Russians. Now he's seemingly turning against them. During the campaign, he called NATO obsolete. Now he says it's no longer obsolete. He's long been a critic of China, calling it a currency manipulator. Now he says he won't make that claim anymore. What's going on here?
Well, I'd like to think it's the seasoning and perhaps the education of the Trump administration starting to settle in. I think everybody certainly knows and certainly intellectually understands that campaign rhetoric is campaign rhetoric. And sometimes reality is a very different thing. And I think something that we have seen over the last 90 some odd days here is, it's a learning experience. And I'm somewhat pleased to see that he's been able to very clearly in the last few days actually say, I thought it was obsolete. It's not obsolete. So he's being at least clear. And clearly somebody, he's listening and learning. And that's a wonderful thing.
Well, Dick, is this the president changing his mind, looking out across the world? Or is it a sign that his inside advisors are maybe wrestling for power here?
If there's one thing we did know about Trump is that he's unpredictable and was going to be unpredictable. So this is perhaps to some degree unpredictable again. But the other aspect of this, I think, may truly be a weakening of what I'm going to call the radical right side, the Steve Bannon side of people influencing him, to something a little bit more mainstream. And that may in part be the seasoning that Meredith described. It may be some of the, his getting advice from both sides and truly thinking that that's the better one. And it may be to some degree that Trump does also have a tendency to respond to what's immediately in front of him in a circumstance, who he happens to be talking to. He'll treat in a more positive way than somebody who he's not talking to today. So I think a little bit of the appearance of flip-flopping is in fact just the person of the day and the situation of the day that he's dealing with.
What's interesting is what will his shift and his kind of, more centrist positions on so many things. I mean, you listed a few and there's several others. What will it do for Republicans who are up for reelection in 2018? I mean, that's going to be the test, is whether or not they're going to go along with the president and try to, come together with the Democrats and do some of these things, or if they're going to, buck the trend and therefore remain sort of obstructionist to appeal to the base to hopefully keep their seats.
All right. Dick, Cynthia, Meredith, see you next week.